Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I command freedom right now. I declare freedom. Freedom from strongholds. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from lies. I break the effects off your soul right now. For every word that's been spoken against you that does not line up with the Word of God, I break the effects off your soul. And right now, I command that religious spirit to be loosed off here and never return any blood-washed believer again. God sent His Son. He paid the price. He redeemed us from the curse of the law to bring us into the fullness. Why will you stay out? It's offensive. Come in. Now, I'm being short and I'm being tough because the Lord wants you to fellowship with Him. And the way you're doing it and the way you justify it, it's okay. I'm stepping my way in. Listen, I'm telling you, He's calling you. And right now, I break the sound of the enemy in your ears, the sound of protection and the sound of I just am too afraid. I break that off you. I declare the voice of the Lord to come into your heart and heal and deliver you. I command the trust of God to break through and heal and deliver you. There is breakthrough in this room for you right now. It's ever flowing. It never stops. He never stops. He never stops giving us every good thing. He doesn't know how to give a bad thing. He weeps when we walk into bad stuff. He weeps when we stumble. But He's joyful when we just say, Lord, just call His name. Call His name. Help me. Jesus, help me. When you call on Him, He comes. He breaks anything down to come. But if you continue to put your wall up, He just stands there and says, ah, oh, my beloved. My beloved, here I am. He's calling us deeper. And I, you know, I'm one of those that used to have the walls, so my heart cries for my testimony. My heart cries for the ones who could not commune, who could not connect, who just struggled with the issues of their flesh through justifying, how does this happen? What does this mean? You know, one of my jobs is to reach in and set the captive free. And sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it's not fun for the person because they're kicking and scratching all the way out. But once they receive the life of God, they're never the same. Once you taste the Lord that He's good, it'll rock you. It'll transform you. It breaks the walls and the hardness of the heart down. And He's crying out. He's reaching out to the last few that are holding on to the edge of their chair. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. If not now, when? God has set you up. He separated you. He brought you up to the mountain. You made an attempt to get here. It wasn't, oh, I just decided to come. God put that in your heart to come. And although I love walking and hanging out with people, He's calling us closer. And He's set the time. This is the time. This is the time. Right now. No more justification of I'll do it later, Lord. This is the time. I'm going to deal with the issues of my heart. That's what He wants. He wants us to deal with the issues of our heart. And the really good thing is, it's not hard. It's like, you know, I see the tipping point. I feel the tipping point, and it's effortless. Think of a water park. Little kids, you know, you're at the Great America Water Park or whatever they're called out this way, and all the kids are playing in the waterworks, you know, the little area where it's safe. Okay? It's safe. We're all in the little area of the waterworks. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on and distractions. But meanwhile, the water, everybody knows the big bucket of water. And you know about the ding, ding, ding. Meanwhile, the water's continuing to fill. Filling the bucket. Filling the bucket. And meanwhile, we're all running around and splashing and playing and, you know, and enjoying the presence and hallelujah. It's so refreshing. And we come as children. But then, ding, ding, ding. It comes suddenly. There's a warning. But those have to have the ears to hear. The ding, ding, ding. But then there's the suddenly. And there is, when that happens, it is supernatural. You ever been overtaken by a suddenly? You ever been overtaken? You ever been in the natural, in the water, and all of a sudden the current just takes you and you're trying to get back? Listen, there's no going back. There's no time to go back. There's no time. When you guys leave here, you're not going back to your old life, your old, the old way. You are carriers of His glory, and He is perfecting which He perfected. He is doing it through every one of us, not because we're special, but because our hearts are for Him. And He is the one that deserves all the glory and praise. There's so much transformation going on in here. It is so supernatural, but yet it's natural because we expect the supernatural. I live to expect the supernatural. I will never settle for the natural. Never. I'm always asking Him to remove the caps of limitation on my thinking. Hello. Should that be our cry right now? Remove the caps of limitations on our thinking. I want everyone to say it. Remove the caps of limitation on our thinking.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shay. Shay. Holy. Shay, my God.
One of the things about being a seer, I love seeing the transformation taking place. You know, I have a hard time looking in the natural at people's faces and go, oh, she's got red hair, or oh, she's got lipstick on. I just don't see that way. And what I mean by that is I see in the spirit, and I see the transformations taking place in the hearts and the faces of people. I see the Lord setting the captives free. You know, we love Him so much, but some of us are so bound and broken. And we do believe, but help us with our unbelief. We want to love You, but we don't know how. We were raised in terrible situations where love wasn't shown. And so, Lord, teach us how to love like You love. You know, those are our heart's cries. You know, I've been through deliverance and continue to go through deliverance. Deliverance was never a dirty word. Deliverance always brings freedom. It always brings growth. It always brings life. You know, it's the enemy that said, oh, that deliverance stuff, that's of the old state. You don't need that. No, 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 no. Every day I'm delivered. Because I come out of the earth system and set my face on Him. And then I'm in the heavens and rejoicing with the King of Kings because He's so good. He's so wonderful. He's so glorious. He saved my life from a wretched mess, from the earth curse system. He set me free. I was so bound and broken and so backwards and so shy and so addicted to drugs and so mean and nasty. You know, it's hard to remember that old dead life. It's like I've been born again, again, and again. Now, for those of you who struggle with that, you know what? Do you have a religious spirit or a false belief system? You know, old things are passing away. New things are coming forth. They're every day. There's examples throughout the Scripture, especially with the manna. Every day He gave fresh. And what happened to the people who tried to hoard and steal and you know, I'm going to make sure I got enough for tomorrow? Rotted. It rotted away. And that's listen, if you're living in the rot, it's not too late. Let go of your agendas. Let go of your plans and receive what the Lord is pouring out in here effortlessly. But all it takes is an agreement with heaven and a renouncing of, you know what, I used to be so, I knew everything, and I it's got to be this way, and I got to make sure, you know, and even as I served in ministry, you know, if stuff went wrong, I'd be like, oh, what the, you know. Now I'm like, oh, well, hallelujah. You know, we'll get to it. It's not going to rob me from my time in the presence. Those are distractions. You know, and I had to ask the Lord to help me master the distractions of my flesh. You know, the one thing, as a sound person, I'd go to a service and the sound would be so out of balance and so bad, but there'd be an awesome message, and I'd be like, boy, I wish they could fix that sound system. I bet you if I went back there, I could probably dial down the gains and adjust some of the basses and stuff. And then I'd be like, wait a minute, I'm not even in the spirit right now. I'm totally in my flesh. And I'd say, Lord, forgive me, help me. Lord, you got to help me with this. Especially if I'm serving in the sound ministry. I used to do the sound. And then so stuff would come up and things would mess up. And I would be like, I've got an agreement with the Lord. Here's the agreement. Now you, Rachel, close your ears. I'm kidding. I turned the sound on and I walked away and I worshiped him. I didn't care. I dialed it in ahead of time and then I dedicated it, dialed in, and then I just was there to meet with Jesus. I wasn't there to run the sound. The angels are running the sound. You know, it's supernatural. So if there's problems, it's not my problem because I released it and I'm worshiping. Now, if something happens, I will get up and deal with it, but only by the Spirit. I won't come back into the flesh to deal with it. And that God's trying to teach us the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh and how you can do dual. You know, and the dual is not very productive. You know, sometimes we're thinking we're in faith because we know something, but yet God's trying to teach us from another angle, a deeper revelation of His goodness, but we're refusing it because we're hung up on, if only I could balance that sound in, flesh mode. And oftentimes we miss what God's doing because we think we know. Let's just proclaim, we know nothing. God knows everything. I'm going to learn to trust the Lord. And I believe He's going to help me grow in all things that He has released for me to grow in. Amen. So I, you know, obviously I don't have a message. And but He's got one. He's got one. And, you know, I thought we were going to do something else. And so I'm just telling you, you know, we've talked a lot about Edgar. And we honor Edgar Bailey. And we, you know, there's so many of you in here that know him. And yet there's so many in here that don't know him, but you know his stories. You know, we're going to, by the grace of God, and I asked the Lord, you know, I'm like, I really feel like this is you. And then he said, not now. You know, oh, guess where he told me that? You know, I remember when I was learning to listen to his voice, I'd be crying out, you know, I gotta hear. And then I'd be in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and then he would just tell me. And I'm like, wow. You know, or, you know, my favorite thing is I love to mow the grass. Not to mow it, but just to be on the lawnmower and just talking to the Lord. You know, I just love worshiping him. And there's something about it. We solve the issues of my heart when I'm on that mower, or the issues of people I'm praying with on that mower. He gives me revelation. And so here's the thing. Whoever thought that serving the Lord is boring or too hard or no fun or you're going to have to give up all those fun, sinful things you do, I'm going to tell you something. You're living so low, you're missing the goodness of God. You've capped yourself. And I, you know, there's people in here because otherwise he wouldn't say it because I'm not brilliant enough to say it except for by the Spirit. Listen, God's calling you for the great exchange right now. There's areas in your heart where you have not fully surrendered because you think you know better. But you don't even know that you think you know better. You're so deep in the blockage because of the things that happened when you were so little that they're causing a stumbling block. And you manifest this weird behavior and you wonder, is that the devil? Why is the devil doing this to me? I'm going to challenge you and ask you, could it be the Lord setting you up for victory? God never punishes. The enemy always points. So start to recognize who's who. God's the giver of life. He gives promises, presence, joy, peace, love, hope. The enemy is the one who is calling you a dirty, rotten scoundrel, telling you you're never going to amount to anything, and then pointing the finger at God, saying, God is saying this. And I feel like the carpet is being ripped right now up from underneath the enemy and his shenanigans. And I really sense there's an area in every one of our hearts, every one of our lives, where we are believing a lie, where the devil has like been pointing, if only. You know, if you could. You know, God put this on you. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to shine His spotlight. Jim, do you have your light? I'm kidding. That's a little joke. Jim has this flashlight that is like as bright as the sun, and he likes to point it at things. And that's a prophetic picture, because I feel like God is pointing the spotlight, not to like go, aha, you blew it, you sinner, but to shine light in the darkness, in our deep soul, where we've been held in bondage so long it's become our friend and our normal, and we don't even know that it's been our friend and it's our normal. And I feel like God is shining that, and He's going to continue throughout the weekend and beyond. And He's going to show us the truth. He's going to give us opportunity to replace the lie with truth. And so as we press in, I feel like... I saw two horses at the gate and ready to go. And I really feel like God set you all up right now. I feel like, I don't know what it is, but I'm like so excited because I see, first of all, you know the Lord is good, right?
Yeah.
Hey, the Lord is good.
Yeah.
I want you to say the Lord is good. Do you feel that in your soul? Do you feel like it being cemented in? Some of you need to start saying that, because once you start saying it, your emotions and your soul will start believing it. Some of you have been believing the lies for too long, and God's like, enough. Time is short. I'm fast-forwarding. I'm going to help you overcome all this stuff, and we're going to do it quickly because we need to do a quick work before He returns. And so a lot of the stuff that's been happening this weekend has been about identity. Wow, we didn't even turn the video on, did we? A lot that's been going on is about our identity, and I'm seeing a pattern in this room. And so if it's a pattern in this room, it's a pattern in the body of Christ. And it's a pattern in the world. And the pattern is, many people, their identity has been stolen. And in my case, you know, the enemy knows a lot of things, not everything, but he knows some things about us. And one of the things, one of the areas that I feel like I'm supposed to share before we get on the horse and go, Holly. one of the areas is, in my own life, my identity was stolen pretty much at birth. You know, I was not wanted by my mom and dad. I was an accident. And they let me know. They didn't do it in a harmful way. They did it in a playful way. But words still carry power. Amen. And one of the things that my mom and dad used to joke about was I looked like the milkman. You know, and I'm saying that because I'm bringing up some stuff, folks. We're bringing it up because we're going to heal this stuff today. We're not. You know, I didn't trudge through by the grace of God and cry out day and night not to see the others get set free. You know, it's for everyone. Deliverance and freedom is for everyone because of what Jesus did at the cross, because of His great Father who wants to walk in wholeness with us in the original state at the garden in Genesis. So I had to break. When I realized that that was affecting who I am now, 50-something years later, I had to go to the source of the issue. And so I broke the agreement that my parents made over my life. And I also forgave them. And then I replaced it with what God's Word says about me. He knew the hair on my head. He knows the lint in my belly button. He knows every detail about my body because He created me in His image for His good pleasure. And so as this is happening and I start to release this stuff, some of you, I want you to make proclamations, because I know I'm not the only one who supposedly was an accident, although there is no accidents. Yeah, amen. So immediately, there's a cap. And so right now, I break that cap off. Everyone in here, I declare the good works of the Lord over your life. We break the word curses spoke over your life right now in the name of Jesus, and we release the truth. which is you were created in the image of God for His good pleasure. Ordained. Ordained. Ordained of God. Fast forward a little bit, maybe 5 years of age. School was not that easy for me. I wanted to play, but I certainly didn't want to recite the alphabet. That's what they did in first grade and kindergarten. Fifth grade. Listen. Here's what happened. I ended up in the special class. I was a special needs. Because I didn't learn like the rest of the kids. You know, I'm a hands-on. Teach me, show me, and I can do it. But if you want me to recite something and remember it, hello, not going to happen. You know, scriptures now, yes, by the grace of God. But listen, were you diagnosed as a special needs? I forget what they're called, you know. What? Okay. I'm so delivered, I forget. Okay. Those are all lies from the pit of hell. None of that's true. None of it's true. How do you get free from that? Well, you have to recognize that's a lie. Somebody's been speaking lies over your life, and right now I break every lie that said you're a special need or an ADHD or you need to be chemically balanced. Right now I break those words. I break the diagnostic report. I break every word that a teacher has spoke over your life in the name of Jesus. And here's the thing. I replace it with the truth, the Word of God. You've got the mind of Christ. You know all things. You're brilliant. And here's the thing, Lord, we bless those that spoke evil over us, and we bless them and we ask for their forgiveness as well. They're pawns. They didn't know any better. Fast forward. Okay, so I am not wanted. I'm special needs. It's past tense. I'm so free, I can laugh at this stuff. Struggling, trying to find out who I am because I'm a mess. Not comfortable around people. You know, didn't like people, period. And was afraid of everybody. And I was a seer, so maybe that's why. I don't know. And fast forward, you know, what's the one thing that you keep struggling with? If there's an area of repetitive action, and I'm going to tell you what mine was, the devil was after my mind. He did not want me to walk in the blessings of the Lord. He strategically set up attacks against my life. I know I had a spirit of death assigned to me. I didn't find out right away, but when I did, I took it out. And here's the thing. There's a, you know, like Holly says, there's a Herod everywhere, you know, trying to kill the move of God. And in my case, you know, young on, I got hooked on drugs and alcohol, and I love the pleasure of not feeling. Hello? Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Some of you are still struggling with that, and God's going to set you free. And it's going to be effortless. There's not going to be any withdrawal. There's not going to be any of that stuff, because that's all crap, okay? When you have been set free, you're free. You can't even remember what it was like. So, drinking and drugging, not doing that great in school. I actually looked at high school as a prison sentence, a term I had to serve. I had to break that agreement later on in life, repent for that. Fast forward, so now I'm on a lot of drugs and I'm really in the enemy's camp. And then, oh, I forgot, early on I got hit in the head with a golf club and had a concussion, boom, against my mind again. Later on in life, I got another concussion, boom, against my mind again. I think I've had 3 concussions in my life. I forgot about that one. My dad, hello, Papa. He used to say, not too bright, Lorraine. And other times, not bright at all. Yeah, he didn't know any better. He was a broken man. But I thought, I'm not too bright, you know. So, yeah, it was deep in my soul. And you know, I had to get healing from that. And, you know, how do you not be angry with your father who speaks like that? You know, first it hurts, and then you just accept it, and then you wilt into not too bright. Okay. When that got pulled out, there was huge victory and huge forgiveness for him. I didn't even know I was mad at him. God is healing the souls. Fast forward. I got into some supplements. Weight loss supplements. Which are no longer on the market, by the way. They've been deemed to be bad for you. But I liked them. You're only supposed to stay on them for like so many days, but anybody who uses knows that that rule does not apply to you. And what happened? I lost my memory again. And that, I didn't even, when you lose your memory, you don't know that you don't have your memory. So you don't know that there's a problem. And I remember when I realized, it had to be the Lord. I remember. Mary has been around my life since I was young, 18, you know, and she just has been a blessing too. Cindy as well. Kina, hello. So when I lost my memory, I remember thinking, these things are causing me to lose my memory. And I called my sister right away to tell her, I think I'm losing my memory and it's because of these pills. And then I forgot. And then she let me know. I mean, that's how trapped I was. I went for testing. You know, they did all the brain tests and, you know, you put the blocks together and what about that black and white? What is that animal? I'm like, I don't know and I don't care. You know? I'll give you a clue. It's a, starts with a D, dinosaur, dog, I don't know. You know, and so I'm in these testings trying to figure out what's wrong because nobody could figure it out. My husband didn't know what was wrong, and so I'm in the medical system, and the Lord revealed it, and that's when I found out it was the supplements. And so when I was in for the next set of tests, I said, it's the supplements I'm taking, and I'm not going to take them anymore. And I actually wrote to the FDA and reported it as a side effect of a problem. And my memory came back. But what I'm saying is the enemy has tried to rob me of my memory so many times. It's funny now, you know. But if it's a constant hit and you're struggling with it, sometimes you don't know there's a pattern. And I feel like the Lord's revealing patterns. Fast forward. I'm driving. Just had a horrific attack. Been fighting with the... some witchcraft, and I get victory, and I'm like, I'm going to Woodman's to buy some communion wine to take communion, and on the way home, I get in a very severe car accident. I totaled my car, and lost my memory, and didn't know I lost my memory. You know, you don't know when it happens. You know? Yeah. Now, isn't it a little odd of all the times that my memory has been gone and stolen from me, and I'm like, what is it that the enemy is so afraid of? Ding, ding, ding. And so, you know, I've battled with my mind, but I have become victorious through what he did on the cross and his promises. And I used to have a declaration I would say for weeks, months, I'd pull it out pretty much after every attempt of my memory being stolen, and I would say, I have the mind of Christ. And I'd go through all these proclamations, and what it did was it cleared out the debris. It cleared away the damage from the assault and the attacks, because the word is so sharp and so full of life. No damage or corruption can stand against the word of God. It is a weapon to be used. And some of us are like, well, that's, you know, I heard that, but that doesn't apply to me. Listen, are you struggling? Find that life scripture. And speak it over and over and over and over until it's so a part of you, you just naturally laugh at when the enemy tries to put that back on you. My mind is so brilliant. It really is.
Didn't someone, your breakthrough, someone told you that you're one of the smartest people they know? That was kind of a breakthrough for you?
No, they challenged me. Because I would say, I'm not that smart. I don't know how to do it. And I think you believed a lie. And I'm like... Oh, did I? See, you won't know unless somebody confronts you. And that's why we're here today, confronting the lies of the enemy. To say, listen, did you believe a lie on this? I think you believed a lie, because I don't think you're stupid. You certainly can tie both your shoes. You know how to
fix anything.
And let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost teaches me. I don't really know it in the natural. It's by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you a little testimony on this. When I went through my divorce, which was not fun, and I don't wish that on anybody, in the divorce I got awarded this snowblower, which was in a box, in parts, pieces. I'm like, hallelujah. No. And so, you know, we live in Wisconsin where the snow gets deep. And I took the time, you know, Holy Spirit, we rebuilt that snowblower. If I took it apart, I could put it together because I knew, you know, you have a memory for it. There was no memory association. Yes, I knew where the wheels went, but that, you know, that's because I'm brilliant. But I would spend time at night praying in tongues in my garage with the Holy Spirit, just communing with Him and fellowshipping. He was healing my heart. And he'd tell me, you know, put this here, put that there, do the carb here. And it wasn't a one-night thing. It was like a couple weeks I would go out there every night and hang out and just do this. And then it was time to start the thing. Did I think it was going to start? I wasn't so sure, but I kind of thought it would, you know, because He helped me. And I remember pulling the thing and starting it, the thing, the cord, which goes into a coil. And that thing started and went, and I'm like, come on, you can do it, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. And I was so excited that it fired, you know. I was like, oh my gosh, I do hear the voice of the Lord. It is Him. But it's chugging. It's going. And it's like going to die. I know it. And I'm like, what do I do? And He says, tighten that screw underneath there. Turn it one quarter. And I turned it one quarter and the thing went. And ran so sweet. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. I loved that snowblower. I had it for so long because it was part of me. Because it's part of Him. And, you know, there's memories in God that you cherish forever. But here's the thing. The day came and the Lord said, get rid of the snowblower. I'm like, okay. Was it an idol? No. But did somebody else need it? Yeah. Did I get an upgrade? Yes. And see, God is trying to point out the issues of our heart. Meanwhile, Holy Spirit is wooing us. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. One more day. You can do it. And see, the meanwhile, also, the enemy's like, that's not the voice of God. You know, every one of you hears the voice of God. Every one of you. You just hear it a little different than everybody else. No one of us hears it the same because we're unique in Him. He created us all in His image, but unique. You know, and one of the lies of the enemy is, you can't hear. You don't have any gifts. Well, listen, that's all lies. If you're created in His image, you are. And every good gift is yours. And you can't earn it. And some of us struggle along the way when we're young and we think, oh, I got the gift of whatever. And we start being used and here, listen. And then the enemy comes in and said, look at you. Didn't you do great? He's waiting for you to connect with, yeah, I did great. And that is very dangerous because what happens is he infiltrates the pure and now there's a mixed bag. And it's common. But listen, recognize it. I remember the one time there was a night and I was just like blown out by what God did. And the enemy came up and said, look at you. I said, no, that was not me. That was all Him. You know, now the latest one is, that was a rotten message. Nobody received anything. And I laugh at that now. I'm like, listen, dude, I belong to Him and I speak what He says and you have no authority. Get out! And that's what He's waiting for. He's waiting for us to say, listen, dude, who are you? A fallen? You were up there and you blew it. You quit telling me I blew it because you are damned to hell. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You don't get that. We need to start speaking. You know, listen, there's these things that go on in the brain. It's cycle thinking, and there's probably like a word, like a legal, whatever, medical term. But I'm going to just say, when the enemy throws a dart at you, and you believe the lie, and I'm just going to throw one out there. Give me one. I don't hear from God. I don't hear from God. You hear that because you're hearing it from the enemy, okay? If you can hear the enemy, you can hear God. And the enemy's loud. He's like, And he's insistent, you know. He'll keep pushing you until he gets in, unless you go, get out in the name of Jesus. And that's what I'm believing for us to start rising up in. We're going to start recognizing these cycles in our brain where, oh, I've been sick for so long, I guess it's part of my lot in life. Get out in the name of Jesus. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God's word says, by his stripes I was healed. We have to start taking our authoritative approach to the enemy, instead of turning our back. If I turn my back, maybe he'll go away. If I turn my back, maybe he'll leave me alone. Listen, think about a house. Think about a house that you have. Let's say you have a little house with four windows and a door. And you hear something outside. Let's say it's dark. You hear something. And you're like, do I hear something? Well, maybe not. And then you hear a rattle on the window. You're like, there's somebody at the window. Then you hear like a shaking of the door handle. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to hide under your bed? Or are you going to say, get out in the name of Jesus? Listen, you can win the war so fast. Get a reality of what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a fallen being who's trying to steal your identity, steal the blessings of the Lord, and bring junk. Tell him to go. We have to start using our voice, which contains life. You can hide under the bed and wait for somebody to deal with it, but you'll be under the bed for a long time. Behold, I give you authority. Behold, I give you authority to trample every work of darkness, the scorpions, the snakes, all the junk from the enemy. I give you authority. Use your authority. Well, how do I do that? Get out in the name of Jesus. Some of you are going to hear that in your sleep, and it's like an impartation. I'm just saying it. And you're going to recognize. Okay. Hallelujah. That was the opening. Do you want to get up and start ministering, or do you want to do worship? Should we worship?
Go ahead. We'll go back and forth. How's that?
I think we're going to go back and forth, Lori. You felt like we were supposed to do a tandem. Yeah, you know, the Lord likes teams.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, he likes teams, and he likes for the Holy Ghost to kind of bounce around and just use whoever he wants to use. Because no one person, right? No one person has it. You know, Lori really can fix anything by the Holy Ghost. I mean, I've seen her fix just crazy stuff. So we started saying to each other, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. You're brilliant. You're rich. You're brilliant. You're all your needs are met. Talk to each other that way. And late, you know, about the last year, she started going, yes, I am. Yeah, ordained of God. Amen. I'm just looking around the room to see who's in here. Somebody I'm looking for. Hallelujah. So the Lord today I was in the session this morning, which was just so lovely and so powerful. And so much truth being released. And God kept showing me something that I probably have not taught here, but it's something that has made a big impact on me as I try to help people. And he called it soul hook. And the concept of a soul hook is this. If you, most of you have probably seen a picture of this out in a shed or a barn or your garage or at a hardware store. There's a hook that looks like a circle. It's metal. And then attached to the circle is a screw. And you take this thing and you drill it into the wall, and it's in securely, okay? And you can hang something on it. And so the story is this. Let's imagine that in your soul you've believed a lie or you've made an inner vow, and it is causing you to believe that you're slow or that you'll never amount to anything. Because sometimes we were told whatever by well-meaning people. You know, we don't blame them because usually they were broken too and they didn't know any better. But some of you have been told some pretty horrific things which are not true. And so what happens is, if we believe the lie, especially, you know, we trust in our parents. Your parents are the foundation of your truth. So if your parents told you, you'll never amount to anything, or you're just, I actually heard a guy in the library, it broke my heart. Sweet little girl was just being a little girl and playing, and he just yelled at her and said terrible things to her. And I thought, yeah, I'll be ministering to her in 30 years. Because, you know, honestly, the stuff goes in, because who are you going to believe but your parents? If they tell you you're dumb, it goes in. So this thing, if you entertain it, and most of us do because we don't know better, it becomes a lie and it becomes rooted in the soul. But if it continues long enough, it actually spirals into a root that's rooted in your soul, and then it becomes part of your perceived identity. Because then it's not just a false belief system. You think that's who you are. And you begin to think things like, I am slow. You know, I am a bad mom. I am a stupid, whatever the deal is. And if that thing doesn't get out, the whole purpose of the enemy in doing this, listen, he plants these things often when we're little or in high school or in college, because he knows who you are before you do. I don't know how that is possible, but I'll just tell you, you know, some of you have heard about Edgar. Edgar didn't get saved until he was 54 years old. But he was used of God to do stupendous things for the Lord. But the enemy knew from his birth, from the time he was born, 11 times the enemy tried to kill him in significant ways. And he didn't get it. He didn't know why until he got saved and God began to reveal. So somehow the enemy sees who you are, you know, I don't know how, must be some kind of mark on you, I don't know, but somehow he knows, or maybe he just does it to everybody, but he tries to get your identity. It's called identity theft. He's trying to get you to not understand the reality of who you are in the kingdom, that you are actually made in the image of God, in your spirit. And so what happens is this root goes deep. It becomes a belief system of this is who I am, and here's where soul hook comes in. If you've believed a lie, and you've accepted it as a truth, it's called deception because you can't tell because you think it's true. And you're so persuaded that it's true that you don't believe it's a lie, so you don't repent of it. You know, oh, I'm just never going to get this right. You know, that kind of thing. And you take on this lying thing. You know what depression is? Depression is believing a lie. I feel like I'm an expert on depression because I was depressed for a long time. And it was actually me believing a series of lies. It's never going to get any better. God doesn't really care. You know, if you start to believe a lie, any lie, it takes you down this road. Well, a soul hook is when you get a lie or an inner vow in your soul. And how God showed it to me is imagine that hook and it's really rooted, you know, really dug into the wall. And you bring a big old bull. Imagine a big old Angus bull. He weighs 2,000 pounds and he's mean. And you take that thing on a halter and you snap it onto that hook. He's not going to be able to get free. That's a stronghold that is attached to the lie in your soul. Now, some old fisherman comes and he's got all the garbage, the old dead, rotten, stinky fish in a burlap bag. He comes and snaps that on the same hook. Another stronghold. You get it? Hundreds of devils can hang on to one lie. So if you get the lie, there's people sitting in here, you know in your head what we're saying. You're like, yeah, that's true, but it hasn't sunk, you know, to revelation. It needs to be revelation in your inner man, to where you're ready to say this, that's a lie, and I'm going to renounce it. So I actually believed a lie for a while during the dark years of my life. I had the revelation that God loved me, but in the dark times, it felt like he didn't care. Now, this is just an example. This may not be the lie you've believed, okay? But what we're trying to show you is patterns. Because if you get this, you can get free. And not just while you're here of one thing. You can have a lifestyle of, it'll become very easy to get free and walk free and stay free and know who you are and do the job you were born to do. So I began to believe the lie that God didn't really care because what's the deal? He's letting me. I remember thinking, this is a terrible thing. This was sin. But I remember thinking, I wouldn't treat a dog like this. Honestly, God, really? I wouldn't let if I had a dog, I wouldn't let him go through what I'm going through. Don't you care? And it's a lie. But what I didn't understand, that there were other things going on. There's things that happen between heaven and earth. God's already ordained the blessing, but there is a second heaven full of devils that hate your guts, right? Sometimes there's that. Sometimes it actually, the very thing that hinders is the lie in your soul. So what God began to show me is if you pull the hook out, away go all the demons. Away go all the strongholds, because they don't have anything they can hook to. Listen, Jesus said this. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Jesus was truth. He had no lie in his soul. He had no wound. See, the devil loves to attach to a wound. He loves to attach to a scar. If you're wounded, you know, all Satan has to do, if you're not free emotionally, it is so easy for Satan to knock you out, because if you don't get that thing healed, you will always feel hurt. And all he has to do, he doesn't even have to get you to go commit adultery or anything like that. All he has to do is just rub a little salt in that wound. Have somebody say one little thing and boo-hoo, off you go. Because your wound is not healed. God wants you as whole as Jesus to be able to say, the prince of this world comes, he ain't got nothing on me. Hallelujah. There's nothing in me. There's no hold, no hook, no lie, no inner vow. I was held captive for years by an inner vow I made when I was 5. When I was 5 years old, my dad yelled at me for crying, and he yelled at me in a big, booming, angry dad voice. Why do you have to be so sensitive all the time? Well, my little mind, I thought, oh, dad doesn't, and I loved and admired my dad. He was awesome. So immediately I thought, oh, well, we don't do that. Well, I didn't even know what an inner vow was when God told me you made an inner vow when you were 5. But what I did was, inside my poor little 5-year-old heart, I said, oh, Dad, we're supposed to be tough. Dad, don't cry. So I made this vow, never said it, but inside I said, I'll never let them see me cry. Like, I'll always, because in our family you're supposed to be stoic. How are you doing? Great. How's everything? Oh, just super. Whole life's falling apart, but nobody's going to know it, by golly. We don't cry. You know, we don't show emotion. We don't do that. And so at 5 years old, this vow, it caused me to stuff my emotions for years. And actually, I so disconnected from them, I didn't even know what anger felt like. I didn't cry. I didn't, how are you? Great. But I was falling apart. I became very ill at the age of 32, but it wasn't physical. It was actually emotional problems from stuffing. You can only stuff that stuff so long, and it becomes toxic, and then it will make you sick. It begins to seep out because it's toxic. And so that's why it says bitterness dries the bones. Not every disease, but some diseases are emotional issues that have not been dealt with. And we've gotten people healed sometimes if they can forgive, for example. Just one example. So the soul hook, sometimes I've gotten healed or set free by just saying, Father, what is going on here? When I got sick in the 30s, I just like started to combust. It was the weirdest thing. You know, for somebody that's, you know, strong and got it together, I just kind of fell apart. I'm like, what is wrong with me? And God said, you made an inner vow when you're 5. I'm like, I did not. I didn't even know what an inner vow was. And he took me right back to the second where it came in. See, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond. Okay? It's not what happens to you. Everybody has rotten stuff said to them. Everybody's probably been hit. Everybody's probably endured some sort of abuse. In fact, I think all of us have. It's how we respond. Each of us will respond differently. Some people say, I'll get you before you get me. Others will say, I'm going to go hide. Nobody loves me. I'll just go about back and eat worms. I'm no good. Nobody wants me. Wah. Somebody else will be like, I'm going to control this situation. I'm going to put up the shield. Nobody's going to get to me. I'm going to run this thing so they don't run me. I mean, we respond to the problem. And there's the problem. Because our response, here's what happens sooner or later as God reveals the lie or the inner vow. It should be, this is actually how I pray all the time. Show me, you know, if I have any kind of problem, I don't have so many anymore because he's helped me so much, but this is still a habit, it will be till I die, is if there starts to be a problem, what if I'm believing a lie? Because Satan should have no inroad into us. He should have no ability. And if he does, we've probably believed him instead of God. It's very likely. And whether you know it or not, that's actually sin. See, I didn't know any of this. God had to teach me. And so I would say, God, show me the lie I've believed, and then show me the truth of your word. Like, I want to see them side by side. And he would reveal, just, I tell you the truth, I've been delivered of hundreds of lies. Just, I mean, I couldn't even count. And usually because of something that happened to me or something I just believed wrong. And, you know, here's something I feel like there's a few people in here, like, God uses other people. I don't think he would ever use me. Not only is that doctrinal error, that is a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. And if you believe it, though, what has happened? You've just limited God, because now he wants to use everybody in the body in their perfect purpose. You're here for a reason. And the only, this, listen, no devil can stop you, but you know who can stop you? You. And here's how you stop. You go, I don't think God could use me. That's great for you, but not me. I remember when I was in my 20s, and Charles and Frances Hunter came to our church, and they taught people how to heal the sick. And they taught it so beautifully. It was the word of God. And they just, I mean, it was so, you know, you couldn't knock a hole in their argument through the scriptures. And I remember thinking, hallelujah, and nodding with my head and thinking, well, that's great for you. You're called, chosen, anointed, and appointed. I didn't believe it could really happen to me, even though I could hear it, and my logic said it was true. They proved it scripturally, but I had a lie in my soul that there were specially called people, the haves and the have-nots. And it grieved me because I loved God so much, I wanted to do something for him, but I thought it was a have-not. It broke my heart. See, I was believing a whole pack of lies. You know, God talked to me all the time. I heard the voice of God very, very well, but this was something he wouldn't talk to me about. Wouldn't talk to me about this. He began to deal with me through the word. And as he took me through the word and showed it to me, I began to say, you know what, I had a spirit of failure dogging my steps. Every morning I'd wake up and that thing would be beating me in the head. You know, I tend to sleep very deep, and it takes me a while to come out of it. And that's when the devil would like to attack me. He used to want to attack me when I was a little, you know, sleepy. And I was like, I'd wake up and the spirit of failure would just be bashing me. But see, you know how I got free from it? I decided not to believe him anymore. I said, I'm done taking this. I'm tired of getting beat up. And you know what? It's not true. I'm actually very successful. What's your deal, devil? So it took a decision of, I am not going to believe that lie. But then I had to stand. I had to, because he still tried it. Like, you know, maybe you just had a good day, but I'll get you now. No, in the name of Jesus. And you don't just say, get out. You say, it is written. Find a scripture. You don't need a million of them. You need one. It is written. There is now, therefore, no condemnation, if that's your issue. By his stripes you were healed, if that's your issue. Whatever the lie is, you have authority over your body. Nobody has a higher authority over your physical body than you do. Except possibly your spouse. Right? The devil doesn't have any authority. Jesus stripped him, so only two... Listen, if he could kill you, he would have killed you. You'd be dead. You'd be dead and I'd be dead. Come on, he hates your guts. But he doesn't have the authority, so what he tries to do is deceive you, because it's the only tool the poor thing has left. And so he spends his entire existence trying to figure out how to get a lie in your soul, or how to get you to believe the lie, because he's terrified you will figure out who you really are in the spirit. Because your true identity is not the personality that we see. It's not what I see when I look at you. The true you is your born-again spirit man, which was when you were born again, you weren't just forgiven, you were recreated. Your spirit man is made new. It's a new person. It's a new entity that walks in the spirit and is made in the image of Christ himself. The Bible says, put on the new self, that's your born again spirit, which is created after the image of his holiness. So when you put yourself down, you are calling God a liar. It is not pleasing to God. People think it's religious and holy to put yourself down in a false humility. It is not pleasing to God. You know, one time I was preaching by the Spirit, and God was kind of gently rebuking people and saying, I don't make junk. Stop dissing yourself. You know, that there's a spirit of self-hatred? You know that's a spirit? That was news to me. That was one I didn't have by the mercy of God. But I knew someone that had it, and she was condemning herself for some problems she had, and she literally would hit her head against the wall because she hated herself. What about cutters? People cutting themselves. See, God wants us free. He wants you, listen to me carefully, He wants you so free that you dare to believe what He really did. That you dare to believe. What did He say? He who knew no sin became sin for us. Became. How can that be? So that we might become the righteousness of God. You look down and you go, I don't feel righteous. I don't always act righteous. I don't look righteous. That's because you're looking at your flesh. You're looking at your soulish realm, which is different than your spirit, in case you don't know. Right? The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. They're not the same. Your soul is like your personality, your mind, will, and emotions. And there's where the trouble lies. So when we say a lie gets in your soul, see, your soul is kind of a mess, right? Because it was made after the image of Adam, after the fall. Problems, right? Some generational stuff, lies we believed, junk from our parents, junk from abuse. We get born again. Your spirit is holy, perfect, lovely, looks like Jesus, smells like Jesus, has the power of God, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. All the gifts of the spirit. Listen, you have all this stuff in you, but we're so busy looking at our flaws, we have associated our identity with this imperfect soulish realm, and that's not who you are anymore. We're to reckon the old man, that's the old man, we're to reckon him dead. And some of us need to make the shift. Make the shift. Okay, that's who I was, but Jesus saved me, and now this is who I am. And we need to start looking at what the Bible says about who we really are, and not just looking at it, but choosing to believe. This is what God taught me. When you believe a lie, and He was so gentle with me, you know, but I was just a screwed up mess. But He said, when you believe a lie, He said, what you're doing in effect is calling me a liar. If I say you're holy, you is. If I say you're forgiven, you is. Or I like to tease Him, you am. You am. If He says something about you in the Word, you know what we do? Because we're so steeped in the devil's lies, we believe the garbage, so we say, well, I know you said that, but maybe it didn't mean me. Or I know you said that, but it's not true for me. Well, in effect, we just called Him a liar. I thank you, Lord. He just reminded me of something I saw this morning. It almost knocked me off my chair. Visions come in different styles, okay? This was not an open vision, but I've never seen anything like this. This was a vision God gave me. I didn't see His whole face, but I knew I was looking at the Father. Usually I interact more with the Son, but what I saw was these, it was like if you could imagine the most ancient of days with the eyebrows, big, big eyebrows, you know, big why the wisdom, the ancient of days. I like to kiss God, you know, don't judge me. I like, when I worship, I like to, you know, I joke around with God a lot. He's my best friend. And sometimes I pretend I'm kissing the very tippy toe, the very end of his big toe, or the back of his, has anyone ever kissed the back here? Oh, good, let me kiss the back of your elbow. Or, oh, how about your eyelid right there? Can I kiss that? Can I kiss behind your ear? You know, because I just love Him. And this is the way I express my love to Him. So I see this amazing forehead. I couldn't see the rest of His face. But I saw it, little, like, scars, little dents, in the Father I'm talking about. I said, Father, what are those little nicks? They weren't open wounds or anything. He said, when my children have gotten angry with me, sometimes they throw stones at her words. And He said, when my children don't believe me, and see, I was the queen of don't believe God. I am the most guilty of anyone. It's a wonder and a half that he lets me share this because I was awful. I was so mad at God. I was so hurt by all the stuff that happened in my life. I said terrible things to God. I shouldn't have, but I'm just being honest. And he said, when my children don't believe my word, that's what wounds me. Because in effect, we're calling him a liar. So we have to change the way we deal with the word of God. We have to elevate the word. When he says something, it is, for all eternity, it is a fact. And when we say, well, I know you said that, but maybe it doesn't apply to me. Oh, really? What, you're not born again? Really? Don't you remember when I saved you? So, oh, what, you're outside the covenant? You just called him a liar. So he gently and sweetly convicted me that, in fact, by my lifestyle, I was negating everything he had done. Can you imagine dying for somebody and then having them disrespect it? See, I lived in guilt and condemnation for some years because I don't even know how that came on me because we weren't religious. We weren't anything at my house. Somehow I got a demon, a spirit of guilt and condemnation. I was condemned for everything. You know, if I was fasting, I should have been praying. If I was praying, I should have been reading. Didn't matter what. I was condemned about everything. God had to cast that thing out, and then he had to begin to teach me truth. God does not want you condemned. He wants you to understand truth. Jesus got me free from the thing, but then he had to renew my mind. And one day I blew it really bad. I know no one in here has ever blown it. But this was like a colossal, stupendous blow it. And I blew it, and I love God with all my heart. I said, God, I love you so much, but I just can't face you. And my tradition was I felt so bad that I just couldn't be around him because I just felt like I'd really let him down and he was mad, blah, blah, blah. And I would hide away for a few days. And he said, Holly, I can help you. I can deliver you from that so you don't do it again. But if you run away from me, I can't. He said, you know what you're going to do? He said, you're going to leave my presence and you're going to run away for 3 days and beat yourself up. And when you felt bad enough for long enough, punished yourself enough, then you're going to come in and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. He said, I forgive you now. He said, but see, while you're out there, I can't help you. But when you come in, I can help you. I can deliver you so you don't do it again. Then he said, Holly, what you're trying to do, this guilt and condemnation thing, he said, you're trying to pay penance for your sin. And what you're saying is what my son did on the cross was not enough. Do you ever have God say something to you? It was like a hand came out of heaven and went, like, oh. And I began to look at life differently. I began to say, I don't want one thing that Jesus died for to be wasted on me because I wouldn't receive it. And I began to, God wants boldness in heaven. He wants somebody that will say, excuse me, but your word says this. That's mine. I'm not seeing it on the earth yet, but guess what, God? We have these conversations, but it's not disrespectful. It's just, you said. God told me, he said, two of the most powerful words you can ever say to me are, you said. I love you, Father. I respect you and I revere you, but you said. I don't see it in the earth yet, but you said. And therefore, I will have it. See, God actually likes that kind of talk. God is tired of people who don't really believe him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. God wants a people who will say, you know, if you said that I'm able, then I'm able. Even if I feel weak, even if I feel the devil's telling me, yeah, who do you think you are? It doesn't matter what the devil says. He doesn't know anything. In fact, if the devil says enough stuff to you, take it as a compliment. It means he's a nervous Nelly. Take it as a compliment. The devil comes, he tried to do all kinds of things, you know, before the retreat. And I finally got to like, okay, so it's just really going to be a great retreat then. You know, because otherwise you wouldn't be doing all this. You see, God wants you to do the exchange, which is, okay, let's just give an example. Let's say you believe the lie, I'll never be good enough, or God's not happy with me, whatever the lie is. Let's say you've actually believed that, and maybe in your head you know better, but your heart is still, your soul still has this lie. Ask God to really reveal it to you in a way you can look right at it. Then look at what the Word says. For example, you're accepted in the Beloved. Nothing will remove you from the love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. That's a fact. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not your goofy behavior. Not your mistakes. Not the time you took the wrong road and you blew 4 years and finally came back talking to somebody. We've all blown it. Listen, nothing separates you from the love of God. But let's say you think, you got this lie in your soul that says, God doesn't really love me. He loves those guys, and he loves those guys, he doesn't love me. Here's what you do. I will tell you how to fix it. It only takes a minute. I've seen miracles and deliverance because this is a soul hook, and what you're doing is legally removing the hook from your soul. What does he say? He restores my soul. So you see the lie, you say, Lord, I have believed, and you actually say this out loud, and it's important to say it out loud because it is a legal declaration. I'm not talking about the way a lot of people use the word law, but there is spiritual law that overrides earth law, okay? If something is a law in heaven, it overrides earth law. I'll just give you a quick example. Lazarus was dead 4 days. You know what she said? By this time he stinketh. You know why? He was rotten. He was rotting. And I'll be brutally honest, there was probably maggots. Did you ever see something dead 4 days? It's corrupt. Corrupt. Earthly law is no one at that time had ever come back from that with a new body. But heavenly law is, if Jesus says it's so, it's so. Right? Heavenly law always overrides earth law. In fact, a miracle is the reversal of a natural law. There's someone that you've been coming and you have issue with the word miracles, you have issue with the word supernatural, and you've been kind of grumpy about it. And I'm not going to look at anybody, but God says, son, don't you know I'm bigger than that? Don't you know that I never stopped doing the works of God? I just changed my location a little. But I still do miracles, and I'm never going to stop. And I want you to enjoy them and stop denying them. And he's saying it with love, but stop denying miracles. Stop denying that I am who I am. And now you're assailing his identity, you see. Okay, that was just a little tangent there. So the law of heaven is, God has given you a certain amount of sovereignty, right? He tells us not to sin, but he doesn't control us and make us not sin. If any one of you said, I'm going to go sin, I'm going to go, whatever, bipod, I'm going to go just think of something, and I know none of you will, but if you did, God wouldn't like stand and block your car. He lets you do it because he's given you sovereign choice. You are the steward of your body, your vessel, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You're the steward. So you willingly, even if you were five, like I was five, if you let the thing in your soul, you can say, God, change me, God, change me, God, change me. And he's like, you made a choice. You have to unmake it. You see, you entertained the thing. Now you have to say, oh, wait a minute. That's not God. I'm going to renounce it. So here's how it works. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. And I actually, God let me set just, I don't know how many people free for years, and I didn't understand why till the last couple of years. I knew it worked. I didn't know how it worked. So you take that lie and you say, Father, I've believed a lie. And let's just say the lie is, I'm not worthy. And I'm saying that because there's some people in here with that. You say, Father, I see now. I see it. I have believed a lie that I'm not worthy. I'm sorry. See, because you have to repent because it's sin, because to believe you're not worthy is to call him a liar. Just an example. Father, I'm so sorry. I repent of believing that lie, and I'm renouncing that lie today. Now, if you could hear in heaven, you'd hear a door slam shut on the enemy because you just pulled out the hook. Now the bull is like, I don't have anything to attach to. What does it say? Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers to, or in proportion to the level of your soul freedom. Are you having trouble prospering? Are you having trouble getting your health? A lot of times it's connected to something in your soul. There's a reason things happen like they do. I loved what Janet said this morning. A dream is often a window to what's happening in your soul. So if you have a dream, ask God, what are you trying to say to me? Is there something in my soul that you want to remove? And listen, he's never doing it to condemn you. He's doing it to free you, because the blessings of God have already been poured out. They're literally hanging there waiting for somebody that can receive them. But the soul blocks block you from receiving the blessings that he paid for and delivered already. So instead of crying out to God, oh, Lord, won't you do this for me? He's thinking, well, I did. Won't you receive it? oh, wait, you can't, you got to lie in your soul. Or, oh, wait, you can't, you got this inner vow thing going on. So there's two parts to the proclamation. Whatever the lie is, you renounce it. You say, I am not going to believe that lie anymore. And Lord, from this day, I choose to believe your word, which says whatever that he has spoken. I'm accepting the beloved. I'm forgiven by God. Nothing shall separate me. Just pick a scripture that counters it and say, I'm going to choose to believe your word. Now here's what happens. The door just opened to heaven. Whew! Now you can receive the blessing. And usually it's instant. I've seen people instantly delivered. I was praying with a woman. She'd had problems her whole life. God gave us the window. He gave us the lie. He showed how it got in. All this happened in minutes. I said, would you like to say this proclamation? Yes, I would. While she's saying it, I suddenly see, she said the renounce part, I see this black cloud in her belly. And I said, you have to go. Just about in that, you have to go. And I see this black cloud go, phew! And she was instantly healed of a lifetime of depression and antidepressant medication. See, because there was a reason the thing could stay. It was hanging on to the lie that she had believed. God wants you free, and he wants you whole, and here's why. Your true identity, I can't wait to see the real you. I can't wait. You know, will the real you please stand up? Because the real you, you know, I'll just share. You know how Lori said she claims every word? She's just like a little cheater. She left the room so I can say that. Oh, she's like, cheater-umpus. When we would do these immersion things, we were doing an immersion where we were just soaking people and releasing words. And I said, this is a strange word. We were in Elgin. I said, but I see somebody. You're going to get to look in the mirror of God. And you're going to get to see who you are on the inside. I thought that was, you know, I didn't know if people, you never know if people be able to receive. You know, some of those words are a little different. Well, about 5 weeks later, Lori said, I had this amazing encounter. She was taken up. She was standing by Jesus on a mountain. And there was a mirror, and she said, now you know me. I don't even look in the mirror. We must be related. And she said, I don't care about that stuff. But Jesus said, look. And I said, wait, before you tell me the rest of the story, let me guess what you saw by the scriptures. I said, you saw the image of Jesus. You saw the love of God. You saw the power of the Lord. You saw the compassion of God. All the ability of God. All that he is, you saw it. She said, that's exactly what I saw. And it wasn't just about her. It's talking about us, all of us who are born again. Do you see it? See, Jesus wants you to understand who the real you is. And to be honest, he wants you to stop apologizing for that other guy, the old man. Now, do we work on changing the old man? Yeah, but this is how you do it. See, holiness, I was always taught that holiness were, you know, do this, don't do that, do this and don't do that. And if you do it good enough, then revival will come. And God gently took me aside and he said, that's not exactly how it works. He said, you come in the Holy of Holies and bring all your junk. And when you're feeling really bad about yourself, that's when you go in. When you've fallen down, scraped your knee, got mud on your face and you said the wrong thing, or you got mad and you were crabby, or maybe you said something, you feel bad, you said something to somebody, it wasn't right. When you've really blown it, and yes, no matter how bad you've blown it, here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to beat you in the head so it's years before you get back in to get free. That's what he wants. The devil doesn't care if you sin. You know why he wants you to sin? Because he wants to separate you from God. And the only way he can do it is by deception and telling you God doesn't want you. God does want you. And he wants to come in with all your dirt, your dirty face, like a little kid who fell down and got all muddy. He's got mud on his face and, you know, his little pants are torn. You know, what do you do when your kid comes in, little toddler? You, first of all, you usually laugh because they're so cute. And you hug them and squeeze them with all their dirt. And then you change their clothes, you wash them up, you kiss them, and you teach them how not to go in that puddle anymore. Well, that's very much like our Father. You come in a mess, and what happens is the presence and the relationship begins to heal you from the inside out, and holiness begins to flow through you as an outworking of your time in him. Holiness is not something you can do in the flesh. It's not possible. Your flesh doesn't have the ability ever to be holy. Our flesh thinks. Paul said it, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And guess what? God understands that. It's not like it's a big surprise to him. He knows you don't have it, and so quit trying to be perfect in your flesh. It can't. But acknowledge the truth, Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. I don't have a thing to give you. My flesh dwells no good thing. Except one, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's King James for a vessel made of dirt. That we have the very glory of God Himself dwelling in us. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? You need to trade in your old identity for your new one. We need to take the trash out. Does that mean we don't strive for holiness? Oh yeah, I probably strive for it more than anybody I know. But I don't do it the worksy, cheatsy, fleshy way, because it doesn't work. I go in and say, here I am again. I see an attitude, it's not right. I got crabby at somebody, I was impatient with somebody. I got mad because of politics or some stupid thing. I was crabby about that guy who cut me off on the road and wanted to knock him in, you know. And when that happens, generally speaking, it wasn't one incident that I needed forgiveness for. It's a sign, a little red flag. Holly, you have an issue inside you. Because your responses show you there's an issue. If you have a pattern of responses, somebody in you, you're dealing with anger. But you're not really dealing with it. And it's making it hard for the people who live with you. I love you. You know, and God's not mad at you. But he's saying, let me help you get that out of there, because then holiness can flow. The presence can flow. The cleaner your pipe gets, the more you can flow. Rivers of living water, see? Okay, so let's trade some things in. So Father, I'm going to ask you to give me some different proclamations. And even if you think, well, that's not my issue, that's okay. We just want to help each other, right? Father, if I have believed a lie, I'm trading it in. I'm renouncing that lie today. I'm shutting the door on the devil. And from this day, I choose to believe your word, which says I'm accepted in the beloved. I can never be separated from the love of God. You desire me to come boldly to the throne of grace. And I receive that in Jesus' name. I wanted to do that because some of you will have more specific lies. And keep, just hang out with the Holy Ghost. And just keep kind of listening in. And he'll give you maybe one phrase or one idea. And sometimes it's a recurring feeling, right? Were you guys here when I talked about the lady with who said she felt like a burden? Did you guys hear that story? Yeah. So that might have been earlier in the week. This lady came to me for some prayer. Great, amazing, actually, anointed, knowledgeable leader in the church. You know, an elder in her church, and brilliant, actually. But had some real serious strongholds, too. But a great heart and wanted some help. And as I prayed for her, I said, you know, we prayed and God just revealed a bunch of stuff, yay. And then I say, you know, is there one phrase that could describe how you feel? She said, oh, I feel like a burden. And I thought, well, that's a strange one. I never heard that before. Heard a lot of weird stuff in my life, mostly for me. But I never heard that. And I said, well, tell me. Do you feel like a burden when you're at church? Oh, yeah. I said, do you feel like a burden when you're at home? Yep. I said, when you're at home alone, do you feel like a burden? Absolutely. I said, when you were growing up, did you feel like you were a burden there? She said, oh, yeah. I said, why? She said, well, my parents would say things like they had so many kids, and if they hadn't had so many kids, they wouldn't have financial problems. And I was the last kid. You see it? So as a child, she's hearing that it's her fault that her parents have trouble. So see how it became part of her identity and carried with her. She was probably in her, well, close to 50, I'm guessing. Elder in the church, leading people, helping people. An amazing woman of God. And yet, here this lie is that she had allowed to take root in her soul. And so she believed she actually, so see how it shifted from a lie of I was a burden to my parents to I am a burden. And it became her identity. Everywhere I go, I'm just a burden to people. You see it? You see how it morphs, and that's how the devil, that's a stronghold. And so as we sat there, I said, can you see now that that is actually not true? I mean, do you get that with your head? Yes. I said, would you be willing to make a proclamation? Yes. As we begin to make the proclamation, I see the devil leave her body. Many strongholds left because now the hook is gone. The soul hook has been removed. The bull is gone. The stinking fish are gone, right? The weights that so easily beset you. Now here's what can happen. You can have a number of soul hooks. I certainly did. I had many, many, many soul hooks. Maybe still have some that I don't know about. But here's how I live. If I see a pattern, a behavior pattern that's a problem, instead of being condemned and feeling like God's mad and beat myself up and pray and fast, blah, 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 I go to God and say, hey, what's happening with that? Why did I do that? Now, you know, here's a clue. Let's say you're a, generally speaking, a nice person. You have a certain personality type. And then one day something happens and out of the clear blue sky, you act like something that's not in keeping with your normal personality. And you think, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Okay, that's like, you know those little flags at the golf course that they put in? Ding, ding, ding. It's a little, that little red flag. That's a red flag that something's going on in your soul that is causing you to have a reaction. And generally speaking, there's a reason. Something has happened, but it's triggered an old event. And so it's very simple to get free. See, I don't like the pattern. What the pattern we've learned is, we know that if we go to God, he'll forgive us. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us. Yay. But it also says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means he didn't just forgive you. If you go to him, he will cleanse you from the demonic force or the stronghold or the behavior pattern or the belief system. And so to me, it's a poor system to live a lifestyle of the same sin over and over again, apologizing over and over again. I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm sorry, forgive me. But it's never fixed. That's a miserable life. And I got tired of it. And so I began to go to God and say, listen, change anything, crucify anything. I want out of this. Because see, you know and I know. You know in your heart there's something you're supposed to do in the earth. You may not know what it is yet. You know you were born free. And there is no accident. I was an accident too, but I know and with all my heart I was ordained of God. God sent us from somewhere in the universe. God brought you here to do a thing. You're here for a reason. And there's no one that has the fingerprint that you have in the spirit, in your calling, in your identity. And whether it doesn't matter whether it's what people would think are great or small, private or public. By the way, some of the private ministries are some of the most deeply important. If you're an intercessor, you say, I just don't want to be in public, yay God. Because we can't do what we do unless you do what you do. We're only the face of some really great people that pray. That's a fact. We can do any of this stuff if people weren't praying. That's a fact. You are here for a reason. And I want this scripture to grip you. Paul said, I've run my race. I finished my course. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That scripture gripped me in my 20s and I thought, I don't want to live this life and have a whole lot of fun and have all the toys and have houses and do all the adventures and find out I didn't do what I was put on this planet to do. No thanks. I said, God, help me. I'm pressing in. If it takes the rest of my life, reveal to me who I am and why I'm here and help me get it done. I know I can't even do it without your grace. But I know you wouldn't tell me to do it unless you were giving me the grace. What you are called to do, you've been equipped to do. You just have to figure it out, right? It's a journey. And God is doing a thing. He's doing a thing. He's doing a thing. He's doing a thing. He's doing something. He's already seen who you are. See, God's already seen who you are. I remember one day, am I going too long? Am I taking your... Okay. I was driving in the car and I'm thinking, you know, people are not a lot of fun sometimes. And I'm not a lot of fun sometimes. I said, God, how do you love us? I don't like us. I don't even like myself sometimes. How can you love us like you do? He says, because I knew you when. And he made me to see, he sees you as though it was before the fall. The real you. The perfect you, the one that's moving in the glory, in the presence, the one that has completed their journey and has become the fullness of who you were born to be. See, he's not looking at your faults. Listen, God is spirit. Think about this. This is something to learn. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit. Your flesh isn't what honors God, and your flesh isn't what communes with Him. By the way, your flesh isn't what hears from Him. It's your born-again spirit. So what's He looking at? Your born-again spirit. What does He see when He communes with you? Your born-again spirit. And what do we say about that? It's righteous. It doesn't have righteousness. It is righteousness according to the Word. I'll say it again. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become righteousness. So where is your righteousness? Where is His righteousness? It's in your born-again spirit. That's why you feel grieved on the inside when you sin. There's no one more miserable than a backslider. Because deep down in their spirit, man, listen, no matter how backslid somebody gets, if you're truly born again, deep down you love God. You can cover it over, sin hardens the heart, but I'm going to tell you something, deep down you do love God. And if somebody's backslid, you just keep speaking over them that their spirit, you know, their spirit hears from God. Because the inner man cries out to God even when the outer man's like, I don't feel like doing it, I'm going to go to the bar, whatever the deal is, right? I'm telling you, your inner man, that's where the action is. So I'm going to have us just, we're just going to trade in. Father, I may have received some false identity. I may have seen myself in a false light. Or maybe I have believed some things the enemy said about me. And maybe those things even seemed true in the natural. But Father, I see that by your word, you've done something higher. It's a higher law. So I'm bringing you this old broken identity with every soul hook and every lie. I'm giving it back to you. In fact, I'm putting it on the cross and let it be crucified there where I can reckon it dead. And today I accept my true identity, the real me, who you have created me to be. And I thank you that I'll spend my life growing in my true identity and learning from you that I'm a child of God. In my flesh dwells no good thing, but I carry this treasure in an earthen vessel. Teach me how to steward that treasure. Teach me how to steward your gifts and callings. And I will serve you and give all the glory to you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, Lori.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.